Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
He says, we don't have to do this in order to survive financially and make a decision that is costly to even one student athlete. He's right. It shouldn't be that. The decision shouldn't come down to that. But, Mike, it is. Because, to me, most of these schools that don't have the kind of reserves that Georgia or Alabama or Ohio State or Texas has are not going to survive this financially.
Right, you're seeing that. We've talked about some of the other schools already, big ones. You know, and again, I think there's some that are out there and you don't realize just how tight that operating budget is. You just think they're cash cows, and that's not the case. You know, as we said, and we don't debate the, we look at the numbers, we read the facts to you, the same numbers and information you guys get. You know, if you can look at the facts and look at the numbers and the odds and say the kids are less likely to get it. And again, I know, as you said, pre-existing condition, older people, but when you look at the numbers, Carl, you know, and it's less than 1% of the population has tested positive for corona, and that's It's not a death sentence. I know for people who've lost, we're trying to trivialize, as you said, people who've lost loved ones, but there is a sense in a lot of places, in business, you've got to get moving. And at the end of the day, now we realize, finally, college football is not student athletics, and amateur athletics, I should say. It is also a business, and that's why the NCAA is going to find themselves out on their butt pretty soon. But again, guys still got to do things the right way because there are risks involved.
More with Kirby and his comments today coming up on the program. You guys can always join us, by the way, 404-741-0929. It is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Mike Bell, ATL. That's Mike on Twitter. Are you on or off Twitter right now? I'm asking.
I don't know, man. You know, I'll go through the barbecue weekend Friday, and then I'll get off again. I'll quit for a while.
Okay. All right.
I'm just sick of arguing with people. My wife said, what are you doing? I'm arguing with somebody. She's like, you're never going to win the argument. You're right. It's a waste of time. It's just like everything else. There is no dialogue. It is a waste of time. So I'm going to quit, Carl, coming up at Friday, and we'll see. What do you think? You want to? Well, didn't I do like a week last time I quit?
Well, like I said, this is like the eighth time you've threatened. I think the fourth time that you've actually may have gone off. And by the way, I think the last time you went off, I forget what happened. It was for a decent time, maybe a week or so, which is a long time. And then you came back because something happened, and it drug you back in.
Something I had to talk about. Well, that's just it. You know, you swear yourself off it, then something breaks, some news story happens, you got to talk about it. Well, we'll see. I know you guys are all going, yeah, whatever. But anyway, it is Dukes and Bell. Let's get ready for a blitz.
Welcome to the NFL.
With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
I like J.J. Watt. I respect J.J. Watt. Off the field, J.J. Watt has been an amazing ambassador for the NFL.
Right.
But J.J. Watt is crazy. And the reason why is, Mike, when he says that he doesn't need a new deal, that he's not looking for a new deal, because the last 2 years of his deal don't have any guaranteed money on his contract, which means the Texans could go, peace, we love you, we'll see you next time, and he's out the door with no guaranteed money. Now, I want to put this in perspective, and then I'm going to let you hear what J.J. Watt had to say. Julio Jones had 3 years left on his deal and said, I need a new deal.
Correct.
This is the NFL. And the point I'm making is, no matter how good you are, no matter how much they love you, at some point they're going to say, thanks for your service, we're out. And J.J. Watt has been injured 3 of the last 4 years in Houston. And as much as we think he's the dominant player that he once was, he's not anymore. But, Mike, he's still a brand, and I am shocked that J.J. Watt is like, I don't need any more money. Listen to what he says.
I fully understand and respect the situation that I'm in at the moment and what's happened in the past few years, so I'm not going to sit here and demand anything because I'm going out there to prove what I'm working. I think if I went back and asked for an extension, more money, anything right now, I think that would be the wrong move. And so I'm just going out there and trying to prove my worth and to help this team win games and do everything that I can to earn and make sure that these people know that I'm worth it.
It's old school. It's fantastic, and is it fiscally responsible? No, but he feels that perhaps because, to your point, he has not been giving his money's worth and getting the money the last couple of years, he feels he's got to go out there and prove it. It is, for me, refreshing. I know that, everyone's going to, the cynics out there, and that's all you have these days, are cynics, and go, what a freaking idiot. I love it. I think it's great. And if he's got the bank and he's comfortable with it, that's his prerogative. Knock yourself out.
Is he crazy? Julio had three years on his deal and said, I need a new deal.
Julio has an ego. JJ's got an ego. JJ's got some principle. Julio felt dissed because some busters were making more money, so he had to go get his. And again, there's no wrong answer here. You do you. But JJ watch should be applauded for this. This is amazing.
Are you serious? He should be applauded for not having guaranteed money on 2 years left on his deal when they can walk away?
He's basically admitting he stole money the last 2 years. That's what I get from that.
Well, he probably has. That's true. I mean,
in this day and age, it's just in 2020, with all the crap going on, have a man say, you know what? I know this is probably not the smart thing necessarily to do, but, you know, I got some big money the last couple of years, and Lord knows I wasn't on the field. Remember, this guy came out with a ripped pec just to try to make the run for the playoffs last year. So unless he's the greatest showman, and you think I don't know how you could call this an act. I mean, everything we've heard about this cat, it's legit. Now, don't get me wrong. He loves himself some J.J. Watt, and by God, he deserves to because he's been doing some great stuff off the field. But honestly, brother, if you guys want to take pot shots at the man, knock yourself out. It's pretty damn refreshing to me.
Oh, man, how do you guys feel about that? And the reason why I think it's important to say, you know, every player is different, and that's fine. If he wanted to seek a new deal and get some guaranteed money, my guess is they would probably do it. So to Mike's point, either he really trusts the front office, he really trusts Bill O'Brien in not moving on from him and you know, him being thrown out to the cold, you know, with no money. This is very similar to the Cam Newton situation. Say all you want, but Cam didn't have any guaranteed money on this deal, which is why the Carolina Panthers said, all right, peace, we'll see you. Again, now Cam is out there looking for a job and wondering why he hasn't been hired by anybody.
Right, but still, Cam's not 100%. This guy's not 100%. This guy's basically said, I didn't deserve the money. Cam, his contract, look, the timing of JJ's, JJ's still under, he's got another a year. Cam's was up. You know, I mean, it's apples to oranges for me. And look, I don't know why Cam isn't going to get signed by the Patriots. It seems like such a great idea. They're starting to write articles about it up in New England. And again, how a guy like Flacco, who can't even practice right now with a bad back, gets a prove-it deal. But again, we're not privy to what Cam is asking for. We don't even know. You know, I mean, we've seen Cam do some workout videos. We've seen him do his hype videos, and he's pretty fired up. And that's great. But nobody seems to know. And by the way, Jadeveon Clowney is still out there. Is it Everson Griffin from the Vikings is still out there? There's a bunch of dudes in free agency right now that still haven't gotten signed.
The part that's not apples to oranges is no guaranteed money means teams can walk away from you and not give a damn. And that's the part that J.J. Watt is putting himself in, which I find it interesting. Stars more than likely want guaranteed money. If you're not a star,
can't you not agree? I mean, if what he's saying and what he's doing is he's taking it face value, it's pretty freaking principled and cool.
Principle is great until it's not.
All right, again, and maybe he is. I don't know. There's a handshake behind the scenes, Carl.
In a day and age,
where guys steal money, here's a guy saying, "I didn't earn the money that I deserve, so I'm not looking for a new deal yet." I don't know how you could find anything wrong with that other than it's financially, in today's NFL landscape, agents would cringe. But here's a guy who's basically saying, yeah, I didn't deserve the money I got the last year, so I'm not taking a new deal.
Yeah, and I'm only shocked, Mike, because of the climate of sports, climate of the NFL. We laid out a couple of examples for you. I think to the one that hits home again is Julio Jones. And I'm not banging on Julio. I'm simply saying, whether you are underpaid or you feel like you're not the, you know, the highest paid guy and you feel like you should be, or whether you're even earning it, if your brand and the team is still promoting you as such, most of these guys go, I need guaranteed money. It's just like Jalen Ramsey yesterday. We talked about Jalen talking about, I'm not going to sit out. Okay, well, in Jacksonville, you pulled up a Brinks truck and said, pay me. And then there was all this, you know, confusion as to what was going to happen. You get traded. Now you don't want to hold out for your money, which you said was the most important thing. I don't know. I think for every guy, it's an individual decision. Is it principled? Yes, absolutely. I don't know if it's the right thing to do, though.
The other thing is, and by the way, if you know, just give you an example, part of the reason why Major League Baseball finds himself, the players' union finds itself in this kind of situation, if a Major League Baseball player pulls something like this, and it's different because all contracts are guaranteed, if somebody takes less than the standard value, they get that strong-worded letter, right, from Tony Clark saying, what the blank are you doing?
Yeah.
It's a different. They have a different approach to that. But look, all we can do is take it at his face value. And as I said earlier, we're not banging on Julio. Julio felt dissed about where the market was, and he was undervalued at being one of the top two wide receivers. He wanted more loot. Falcons said fine. In the DeAndre Hopkins case, he wanted the same thing. Bill O'Brien says, I'll make a bad trade to get rid of you.
I know. And see, that's what I'm talking about. That's the other side of this. You know, where Hopkins still had money left on his deal, wanted more money.
He wanted exactly the same deal with 2 years left. He wanted what Julio did.
It's crazy. So, again, this isn't necessarily about Julio. We're using that as an example. It's more about the state of the NFL. And for the first time in a long time, and maybe you guys can tell us, Mike Bell, ATL, put him up, C. Dukes. Tell us on Twitter. When's the last time you heard a star in this league say, no, I'm good with my contract? I haven't. It doesn't happen. Guys are never good with their contracts. They always want to keep up with the Joneses.
And by the way, if this guy wants to go for sainthood, he's up there for me right now because he does all the work in the community. He's raised millions of dollars for charity, and he seems to be, by all indications, the real deal.
All right, man. It's our NFL Blitz. It's brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. That's an interesting conversation about J.J. Watt.
And by the way, Carl, if you're a person who has no code, you will not like this deal. You will say he's being stupid, but that's the way the man feels. That's what's going on inside his noggin. Hey, the NFL approves the preseason trial, Carl, of expanded replay official. That will happen. So we were going round and round about the skybox judge and what we're going to move forward with. League owners approved a preseason trial for a proposal that the competition committee, of which our Falcons' Rich McKay is on, to allow, Carl, listen to this, quote, more communication between replay officials and the crew on the field. So it's more limited than what we're going to get with that sky judge, according to Pro Football Talk. But under the revised proposal, officials on the field can speak with the booth crew during the conferences or until there's 25 seconds left on the play clock. So it's kind of like a half measure of the sky judge. So you're in the ref's ear trying to move things along with the replay. What do you think?
Something's better than nothing, but I want you to hear from Tony Dungy because he was asked about this and adding the sky judge. Here's Tony Dungy.
I have a lot of respect for Dean. I thought he did his job as well as you could do it. There's a lot of pressure there. And my only, I guess, problem with that would be, how do I know that a play in the first quarter isn't monumental? I would have wanted you to step in the first quarter if there was a huge mistake that might impacted my career and my team's chance to win a Super Bowl. So that to me is the whole problem with this sky judge thing. Who says what play is going to be critical? How do we know, looking back, what the big play was? Are we going to get involved with everything and every little detail on every play? I never have been a big fan of replay. And I think this is just one of those reasons why.
I like what Tony's saying, but now, look, we're stuck. We're in a replay world, Carl. We've gotten away a little bit from like the split second by second. But still, you know, once that toothpaste is out of the tube, we're stuck with replay. Fans want to see it done right. But I'm with Tony. I mean, if you're going to do it the whole game. I just don't understand how we can see a call that's blown at home and they just can't find a way to communicate that in real time on the field and get it right.
We've all been wondering about the value of Jadeveon Clowney. Well, Jason Lockham-Ford talked about his market value. Remember, he was like $25 million. Now he's still looking for a job.
I think the guy, honestly, is probably worth what he was paid last year by Seattle, which is like $8.5 million. Remember, Houston subsidized half the contract to facilitate a trade that was already team-friendly in Seattle's view.
$8 million? That's pennies compared to what he thought he was going to get, Mike.
Well, that's, I mean, again, did he put up the numbers that justify that kind of contract last season? 3 sacks. Now I know he had a recovery for a touchdown. He had some big moments, but still, he wasn't. I don't think he was all that in a bag of chips for the Seattle. It would warrant that kind of money in the free agent market. That's why he is where he is.
Meanwhile, Baker Mayfield, he's not talking. At least not right now. Matter of fact, he's focused on the season. Now, the credit of Baker Mayfield to be able to overcome what 3 coaches in 4 years or 4 coaches in 3 years. I get it. He's changed systems. It's not been easy, but Baker's been popping off. Mike, He believes, though, that this is going to be his best year.
There's no doubt year three is always a big year in these contracts and timing-wise. Everybody knows that, but I'm not going to put any added pressure on myself. There's no need for that, because if I win, good things will happen. Good things will happen for our team and the guys around me, and that's the most important part. So if I play better, our team's going to do better. I put that pressure on myself. It doesn't matter what year it is. I have to play better each year.
You buying it?
Yeah, I mean, now do it. Now shut up. As my father used to tell me all the time, less lip, more grip. Get to work. You know what I mean? Lead this team. You know, you've got all this talent. I mean, until Odell Beckham flakes out again, you got great running backs, great wide receivers. You just added a great tight end. You know, you got a new coach who seems to know something about offensive football. Figure it out, Baker.
Coming up, Dave O'Brien. We'll talk baseball with him and something that just happened in another state that could affect our state when it comes to COVID-19. We'll tell you about it next. It is Dukes and Bell. We're going to talk to our buddy Dave O'Brien from The Athletic, talking about Major League Baseball and where they are at. Can they come to an agreement? Before we do, though, Field Yates, who covers sports for ESPN, reporting that Texas Governor Greg Abbott has issued a revised order. Not only will professional sports leagues be allowed to resume play in June, it's a few days away, but outdoor stadiums will be allowed to host fans up to 25% of their capacity. Now, Mike, we had Governor Kemp on our program earlier this week, a couple of days ago, and he said he's going to make the best decisions based on the information that's given to him and, you know, based on our state. Every state's different. But don't you think this is opening the door for other states to do the same?
Certainly. Now, we've talked about California, Oregon, some things we thought were going to hold back Pac-12 when it came to college football and pro sports. And again, it's a very hot potato issue politically. But, you know, when you've got less than 1% of the population has tested positive for COVID-19, you know, we've talked about it. Again, we're not trying to trivialize anyone who's lost a parent, a grandparent, anything. But when you have 100,000 people that have died to this and the population of our country, best guess is 327 million, you can be proportional in how you start to open things up, whether it's businesses, including sports. So we'll see. Obviously, there'll be a lot of hue and cry over this. Some people will say it's certainly something they'll be interested in. Those that want to go will go. Those that won't, you know, won't. And hopefully where those that will go will take the precautionary methods to get it in and have some fun.
Let's talk to our buddy Dave O'Brien. And Dave, hope you are doing well during this pandemic and all that's been happening. Obviously, no baseball, which is what you cover, and covering the Braves. And you do a terrific job for The Athletic. I want to start with, first and foremost, the response of the players, which is something Mike and I have been talking about today with Max Scherzer coming out and basically saying there's no reason to continue this conversation. I just want to know how you feel about this from a player standpoint and then from the owner's standpoint. I mean, is there a right or wrong here, or are they both wrong, or are they both right?
They're just negotiating. I mean, they both are. The proposal that the owners made, the first official proposal, after it became clear that their plan to have the players take a split of the revenues was going to be a non-starter, because the players' union views that as a form of a salary cap, and salary cap is never going to happen with the union. So the owners then kind of regathered themselves and presented their actual first proposal, and their first official proposal Tuesday night was pretty ludicrous, if you ask me. I mean, it was the prorated salaries, which the players have already agreed to in March, and then it was a sliding scale of additional reductions in players' salaries according to how much money they made. Guys that made the minimum, $560,000, would only give up like 10% of their salary, you know, after the proration is in effect. So they would only say that their salaries reduced by like 30 grand, right? They make like half of their $560,000 salary, play 82 games, and make 200 and whatever it is, 80. They'll lose like 30 grand. So no big deal, right?
Right.
But as you went up, the guys who've been in the league for any length of time and are making, you know, millions, 2 million, 3 million, 5 million, it goes up. The higher you go, the bigger percentage. And it got to the point where if you make like over 20 grand, the highest paid guys, who are the ones that pull a lot of weight, both with the union and positions with the union, or most of the guys that are player reps have been around for a while. They're making a little money, if it ain't, you know, the Mike Trouts, but they're making good money. But they're asking guys like Mike Trout and Scherzer to take reductions in salary. Say Trout was supposed to make 37 grand this year, I mean, 37 million this year, his highest paid player in 2020. He would end up getting like $6 million for playing 82 games. for playing a half a season. Well, that's ridiculous.
Right.
I mean, you can't just say because we're not going to have fans in the seats for all or most of the time, we're going to ask this guy to take a 70% reduction in the after the proration he's already agreed to,
right,
which was fair. And then maybe, you know, I think they should come to some agreement in the middle where the players do give up a little bit more in light of the fact there's not going to be any in the seats, but not nearly what the owners want them to give up. In other words, the owners want to be the ones that, you know, the players are taking all the risk as far as health is concerned, whatever risk there may be, the players, the coaches, the managers. And believe me, that's no small matter for the coaches and managers who are 65 years old with a heart condition. This thing is no joke to those people. You know, as you know, they get hospitalized in a hurry. Patrick Ewing was in the hospital this week. He's my age. Patrick Ewing, you know, Pat Dye's in a hospital here in Atlanta right now. So anyway, but the players, unless they have an underlying condition, diabetes, whatever, they're not going to be they're not going to die from it probably. You know, there's no chance they're going to die from it. But they can take it home to their little kids, to their parents, to their, you know, whatever. So that's why they want to make sure all the testing is daily and not the, like, twice or three times weekly of what the owners initially proposed. But the health stuff's not going to be what stops this. It's going to be the money. In other words, the players don't want to say, okay, we'll agree to all these things you want us to do, the testing and all this. We'll agree to, you know, being sequestered to some point, to some extent on the road, and all of this stuff have to be tested when you come in, the temperatures, you got to do all this, which behooves them too. They'll agree to all that and to plan every day and not getting all the days off like they normally do and playing doubleheaders, do all of it, play into November, even December maybe. But the owners then want to move, like, they want the players to also take the same financial hit as them, but actually it would be more because the players are already taking half their salaries.
Right.
But I just don't think it's fair that the owners are the ones that, when you buy a Major League franchise for $200, $300 million 10 years ago, and you sell it now, you sell it for $1 billion, you know? You do not lose money selling a Major League franchise, an NFL franchise, an NBA. So anybody that says that the owners take on financial risk is full of crap. They do not take on risk.
It is Dave O'Brien, guys from The Athletic, talking about baseball with all the other sports are ratcheting up. The governor of Texas saying sports outdoors and 25% attendance can be allowed. Things starting to happen. But Dave, getting back to baseball, obviously they want to break. They'd love to break up the union. It's been the strongest of the major sports unions for many years. No, so here's the thing. Who are the owners driving this? I mean, what's Rob Manfred? I was told Rob Manfred was a rational person. What's going on here? Who's driving this?
Well, like I said, they're negotiating. So they stake their tent here, and the players do here, and they're going to have to get to the middle. It's just they're not going to have the months and months they normally do to get there. They got about a week or two. If they plan to start in July, early July, which is the plan, about July 4th, if they want to have a three-week mini camp during June, which you're going to have 2 or 3 weeks, you know, to get ready. If you want to do that in June and start around July 4th, you're going to have to get this thing done by early next week. If not, you're going to be pushing it back in the middle of July, which you can still do. You know, you can play games into November and then play a postseason up to December. You just play it on neutral sites and domes or in warm weather in neutral sites. You can do that. It's not a problem. So they're going to have to work it all out. But they started, but you know, I think the owners, they kind of laid this line in the sand, which was so far to their side, that the players are going to counter with something that's also going to be just that, you know, there's no way the owners are going to accept it. The players are going to ask for their full prorated salaries and to play additional games instead beyond the 82. The owners are going to say, you know, no, there's no way we're paying, because the owners are saying they lose money by playing additional games, because if nobody in the seats, they're actually going to lose money per game, they think. You know how they could, of course, settle a lot of this is if the owners would capitulate and show the players the books, show them the records. And if you say you're losing these hundreds of millions of dollars per game, show them the records, and they won't do it.
Right.
So there's this mistrust that's undermined these negotiations between these sides for decades, and it's rearing its head right now at a really bad time with this pandemic going on, and people just don't want to see it right now.
In a shortened season, how well would the Braves be equipped for a DH and the bullpen? Because you figure they could use more pitchers. They'll use more pitchers. Maybe the rotation is expanded. How well are we suited for what could be 82 games and a DH and the bullpen?
Really well, and surprisingly, because it's almost like they designed this team with this in mind, which of course they did not. They had no idea something like this was going to happen. But the things that they built, better depth than they've had in years and years, bench depth, outfield depth, you know, just across the board depth, infield depth, utility depth, that's going to really help you when you're playing. If you're averaging a game per day instead of, you know, six games a week or five games a week, you're going to be playing every day basically because you're going to have doubleheaders. Even if you get an off day, you're going to have a doubleheader make up for that. So you're going to need the 30 players or whatever that's going to be on the active roster instead of 26. And then beyond that, you're going to have a taxi squad like the old football days of another 20 guys. The Braves are going to have guys there that can play and not just a bunch of fringe guys that you would have had to have in the past because you didn't go much deeper than, you know, down in Triple A, you only had a handful of guys that were ready for the big leagues. And then as far as you mentioned the bullpen. You know, they put together their deepest bullpen since probably 2002 when Smoltz was closed, and then they had that unbelievable pen. This is their best bullpen since then, and it's deep and deep with quality. And then you got all these young arms behind them that you could easily go 10, 12 deep in this bullpen, and you're really going to need that when you're playing, you know, every day and playing some doubleheaders especially. You're going to need that. So, and then you got starting depth. Instead of, like, trying desperately to find a fifth starter or a sixth starter if somebody got hurt, you're about seven deep with really quality starters, and eight deep if you want to say, you know, Kyle Wright, two pitches not pitched really well in spring training, showed he's made a lot of progress. So you're in really good shape with the pitching staff. So I think the Braves are really in a good spot for a shortened, compressed season, if you will.
Dave O'Brien with us here for about a minute more from The Athletic. Always great stuff and great musical takes, too. Always love when you're pimping this day in music or a new record. Dave, real quick, I know we touched about it earlier, but the DH, I mean, we're not really equipped for it. Who would be your lefty and righty DH?
Well, you are kind of equipped because that's that depth I was talking about with Austin Riley and Camargo battling for third base. Well, all of a sudden you could give it to Camargo if you wanted to and have Riley DH, or you could let Riley play there and then you have Camargo be a super utility guy, and you could. In the AL, if you look, nobody really goes. There's only a few, two or three really stud DHs that do it every day. For the most part, teams use two or three guys nowadays. It's just the way that teams have been doing it. It's not like in the old days. There's not many big poppies out there anymore. So the NL, it's not going to be as big of a negative as people think overall, but with a team like the Braves, I don't even know that they're at a disadvantage because while they didn't build the team with a DH in mind, they've got this outfield depth than they could have possibly used it with a 25-man roster. So you got these extra guys, you know, your Marquesas, your you've got five outfielders that are really everyday type outfielders, and then you got Austin Riley. So you've got some good pop coming off the bench with I can't even think. What did the outfielder last year hit 30 down in AAA in the majors? So, but you go about. You go five deep with the outfield, and you got the extra infielder, and then you got maybe a long shot like a Peter O'Brien, a guy who's whiff prone but has got huge power, like he showed in spring training, that would not have made the roster on a 25-man roster, but with a 30-man roster, you know, that's legit. You might legitimately be able to carry him because you're not going to afford to carry a guy that just gives you like one dimension, like a big bat or a lot of speed or something like that. So. I think they'll really look good as far as the DH is concerned. Better than they would have looked in this situation if this had come up. Adam Duvall's the guy I'm trying to think of, by the way.
Yeah.
Who had 32 bombs last year in AAA, and then hit a few more when he got called up here late in the year. So, I mean, there's that guy right there is your DH or you know, split it with Riley and him and Marquesas if the matchup's right or whoever, you know. But you got some guys you can rotate in there.
Dave, it's always a pleasure, man. Great stuff. And as this thing moves forward, we'll be getting you back on, man. Appreciate you today.
All right, man. Talk to you later.
Dave O'Brien, right, guys.
Yeah, man, it just seems like, Carl, as we said with the money, I mean, it's extreme arguments, but this is also, don't forget, the precursor to the end of the current contract. We might go through this all again in 2021, whatever they agree on this year.
I know. It's crazy, man. Coming up, we got some guy talk, though, Mike Bell.
Yeah, man, Tom Brady might not be the guy you want to play golf with, but would you be interested in purchasing his whip?
It's time for fun. It's time for guy talk.
Yes! Never mind.
It's time for shenanigans.
Yeah! Yeah! Yes! Yeah! Yeah! Welcome to
Yes. And let me tell you something, boys and girls. Trying to find shenanigans in the news these days, Carl, is hard work. I got to tell you, man, combing the interweb, trying to find something on the lighter side has been a bit of a struggle. It is our Guy Talk, guys, and again, brought to you by our buddies at Coney Brewing of our Dukes and Bell. Hey, man, Ale, make sure you grab some tomorrow, by the way. I hope you've already planning your meat and whatever you're going to be grilling. By the way, Carl, what is your plan for tomorrow? Have you already formulated your plan of action?
Yeah, I for me, it's more about trying to figure out what the sides are, like what's going to happen with the addition to the meat. But, yeah, I think I got the meat portion of it taken care of, but working through the sides, and hopefully by tomorrow morning when I get up, I'll know where I'm going with that.
By the way, the hot dogs looked amazing.
They were great, man. I mean, again, if you have never had a Chicago-style hot dog, you're probably like, gross, there's too much stuff on there. But it came out, it just took me to being in Chicago and just having a delicious Chicago-style hot dog. Matter of fact, Mike, I think I had the two that I took a picture of, and then the next morning I got up and I had two more. So they were great.
Hey, man, there's nothing wrong with that. And by the way, so tomorrow, I believe, is it Becky Burgers? I'm getting the thumbs up. So it's going to be Becky Burgers. So she's going to make the ground to beef and do the whole thing, and we'll have a good old. Remember the old Eddie Murphy skit?
I want a
hamburger like Burger King.
But you know
King.
What? Homemade burgers are the Burger best. King. They're the best, man. Right. I mean, yeah. He's what he talking about? His mom putting the onion. Put the onions in here. And
I want.
It came out great.
Was it McDonald's or Burger King, Craig?
McDonald's.
On the Eddie Murphy bit.
Yeah.
I want to make it. Oh, it's going to be better than a McDonald's burger. But yeah, so we're doing Becky Burgers tomorrow, and we'll give you the reports. And don't forget, guys, tomorrow when we ask you for it, brought to by Twin Peaks. Keep those photos rolling. I know we had some guys because of the 3-day weekend that eventually got to the grilling on Sunday and Monday, but we always appreciate you sending the photos in. All right, we talked a lot about the match and Tom Brady. Would you be interested in Tom Brady's whip? Tom Brady is selling his custom-made Cadillac Escalade for $300,000.
Whoa, 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 wait. They don't go for $300. What's this thing got on it?
No. It's custom made from head to toe. I mean, you think that the GOAT would be driving around in like your base model? According to the Robb Report, Brady's Escalade has had some awesome modifications, including the car being stretched by 20 inches. It's also got extended rear doors. I'm looking at a photo of it. It's pretty. I'll put a picture up. The interior of the vehicle features extra-large, custom-made seating, including 2 6-way electric reclining VIP seats with leg rests.
Okay, so it's
basically,
up.
You know what it looks like? Remember, I was watching it last night again because I watched it, even though I still critique it, I watched the Miami Vice movie that Michael Mann directed. You know when the Jamie Foxx character and Colin Farrell playing, obviously, Rico and Crockett and Tubbs, when they go to meet with the big drug boss down in Haiti?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it looks like. You've got the reverse-facing seats all customed out with all the electronic. That's what it looks like. It looks like Tom looks like a narco drug lord's rig. That's what he's got with this Escalade.
So he's selling it for charity, though.
I couldn't find that was going to be the nature of the
or
deal.
He just put it up for sale.
Just up for sale.
Yeah, oh,
man.
Wow.
He's looking
okay.
to make some loot. So, again, some big baller either in Boston or Tampa Bay might be interested in that. He's still taking heat, is Tom, for selling the TB12 nutrition that some people are saying is glorified emergency during the pandemic. And he's getting some heat on that. By the way, I saw earlier today, Patrick Mahomes says he is in. He says, name the place, name the time. Mahomes wants to be a part of the next made-for-TV golf event.
And I'd love to see it. I mean, after the match came off so well, Mike, I think you're going to have a lot of guys who do play and can play well. But let's be honest, Peyton and Brady didn't necessarily play well. I mean, they were okay. They hit a few shots.
I mean, Peyton made the putts, and neither one could keep the ball on the short grass. Nobody
absolutely.
Could drive. But you know, but Peyton, his iron play was solid. He both he dropped some darts there inside of 12 feet late, and their putting was both their putting. Their short game was great. You can't really argue.
But I think my point is that you don't have to be scratched to play in one of these things. If you have celebrity and you can halfway play, it's going to make it interesting. If you have some personality, it's going to make it interesting. And that's what I'm getting to. I don't know how good Pat Mahomes is. We've heard Matt Ryan is great at golf, you know? So let's get our guy involved, moving forward. So I just want to see guys, but I think most people go out, well, I can't play with the pros. Well, they weren't either.
Well, you know, the other thing and the other aspect of this, I was talking about this with Squid Billy the other day. You know, like a guy like our Dave Archer, okay? So Arch plays golf, and of course, because he's a former NFL quarterback, he's good. One of Archer's big buddies and running mates is Jim McMahon. Arch and Jim were quarterbacks together in the NFL. McMahon plays like barefoot. You ever seen that when he plays like Tahoe? So, I mean, my point I'm getting to is like a local station like a WGN or, you know, your regional Midwest Fox or your Fox Sports Southeast, as opposed to, remember all those times when you'd have a rain delay and you'd see like what Tim Hudson's house looked like for the 50th time? Why don't they, you know, the local networks can take it upon themselves? We got 15,000 great golf courses here locally. And you could do a thing here. You could run on Fox Sports Southeast.
That's,
you
a, know, great
with,
idea.
With Glavin, Smoltz, Chipper. I mean, we've all got legendary stories. Anybody's ever been in Chipper's tournament, the guy can hit 300 yards lefty and righty. But I'm just saying, there's a lot of ways you could monetize it, not just on the national scale, but you can still do it for charity.
Yeah, I like that idea, and it gives local programming, which right now, again, there is none because they have the ties to the teams. But yeah, I love it, man. I mean, to me, the more the merrier. And I say that this is a fresh new idea that works so perfectly. You got to get the right people. And I think that's the part of it, the draw. Would I watch any foursome that just, you know, because they were celebrities? Not necessarily. I mean, that foursome, Mike, was pretty heavy. I mean, you know, you.
That's a great, yeah, I mean, it's, you got the GOAT. You got two of the best of all time.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, so, it's no joke. But I'm just saying, I mean, you could do a lot worse as far as programming. Again, personalities, you got to have some juice. You got to spice it up to make things interesting.
Yeah, I like the idea, though. And to your point, locally to play all the different courses, because that's the other part of this, you know. Next time that they do this, it was close to Tigers, you know, that's like his home course or whatever, but, you know, where else could you have this event? And there's so many beautiful places and things to check out as far as where you could host this event and have success.
Hey, man, I don't know if you watched Billions already this week. That's one of Carl and I's favorite show. And if you didn't see it, and we just spoke with Dominique Wilkins, what, it was last week, right, or a week before?
Yes, it was, yeah.
How about this? We didn't even know we could have done 10 minutes on that. Dominique Wilkins has a nice couple of cameos in this last episode of Billions.
Yeah, he's in the gym playing some one-on-one. If you haven't seen it, I don't want to give it up. But, I mean, again, it's the scene itself with Neek is probably, you know, 20 seconds. But the fact is, he's a part of the storyline because one of the main characters is a former basketball player, and his thing is, you know, that's part of his workout. So it just happens to be he's playing against Neek in some one-on-one.
Neek was in that hearing. The hearing scene was hysterical,
right,
in Yonkers. So it's basically, it's an altruistic billionaire who played college basketball at Indiana, and he and the lead character acts as, was it Damian Lewis who plays him? They're going toe to toe, and so yeah, because he's a hoop guy, and he's kind of a D-bag too. The character of the billionaire. So Dominique's in there, and he's talking trash, hits a jump shot over Neek, but it was just kind of cool to see him in that, you know, in that role. I was like, wait a minute, that's Neek. What's he doing there?
Yeah, he made me laugh because his one line, that's the last one you're going to get. I started laughing.
So next time we get Neek on, I want to, again, had we known, we would have asked him about it, because if you, and again, you know, I know,
well,
before, and by the way, before we get the people texting in, I ain't rich like you, ain't got no showtime. I'm just saying, if you hadn't seen Billions, it's worth getting it for.
Well, I'm sure too, Mike, that was probably taped last year, you know?
Right.
That's
right.
The other part of this. All these shows we're seeing now, production's been shut down, guys. I mean, they're starting slowly but surely to start some of these movies back up and things that, you know, got shut down. But most of that stuff was done last year. That's why we're getting a chance to binge all this stuff. And some of this release dates have been pushed back. So I think Neek probably, he might have forgotten about it, honestly.
Right. Hey, man, I didn't get to this story because, again, we were off Monday. And this story's been out there for about 2 or 3 days. You may have already seen the video. I'll ask you, have you seen the video, Carl, of the young Italian boy who's up on the side of a hill, and he's walking, and there's a big brown bear behind him, and you think, ooh, this kid's going to get eaten? Have you seen this?
No, I have not.
All right, it's basically just be Googling Italian boy and bear and see what you get. A 12-year-old Italian boy keeps his cool when he stumbles onto a massive brown bear while he's picnicking with his family. Mm. Young kid is named Alessandro Franzio, and he was just, you know, hanging out doing what kids do. His parents are eating lunch. It was the best day of my life, the boy told La Stampa newspaper. I really hope something like that would happen, not to have the bear up close, but the bear pops up. And so, you know what they always say with the bear? It's supposed to be super still, right? Like,
yeah.
You're almost supposed,
don't
that,
move.
I mean, I'm a city boy, but isn't that what you're supposed to do? Play possum if you come upon a bear?
You're supposed, yeah, be still.
I mean,
absolutely.
Although, I mean, I don't want to be like
DiCaprio. Because, by the way, they're fast. You're not going to outrun
right.
them, by the way.
I don't want to be like DiCaprio when he's getting mauled by that thing in the movie. But anyway, the kid is coming back. He's like collecting rocks and stuff on the side of a hill. This is up in Umbria. And the parents basically are telling him, don't turn around. Don't look it in the eyes. And the kid slowly walks down the hill. Everybody keeps their cool, and the bear is right behind him. And it's unbelievable. If you hadn't seen it yet, it's pretty wild, pretty chilling. They're on a picnic with the family, the mother and her boyfriend. He walks in the bushes. He's looking for, like, he said he was looking for, like, semi-precious rocks and this and that. They said, keep coming. Don't turn your back on him. He just can't, he's just minding his own business. So the boy makes it back, and then obviously he dashes the final few yards, gets in the car. But if you hadn't seen it, it's like, could you be that cool? I don't know, man. At 12 years old, I'd be running like Jerry Lewis. And I'm like, like the Three Stooges.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the thing, Mike. Now, yeah, not at 12. Try and tell a 12-year-old, whatever you tell a 12-year-old, they do the opposite. Hey, don't run. Did you say run? Don't walk. Can I run? I mean, they do the opposite.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Squid Billy is from, like, is that, I mean, does somebody give me the, somebody hit me up at Mike Bellythiel. Is that what you're supposed to do, Craig? Do you know, have any experience in the East Bay? Did any large bears come into the neighborhood?
Yeah, no bears in Oakland, Mike. What are you talking about?
Well, the Cal Bears. Cal Berkeley.
There's no bears roaming the streets of Oaktown.
Craig, have you ever been pursued by a Cal Bear? And if so, what was the procedure in the East Bay?
I just went to Stanford, bro.
There you go. Out on the farm. Back to you, Carl. That's Guy Talk.
All right, man. We got more of that coming up. Good stuff. Go check out that that video. It is stunning. Hey, Kirby Smart spoke today. What did he have to say? And what does he think about fans getting back to Athens? We'll let you hear it coming up.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.